Next up, for some, there's nothing worse than when you're heading away on holiday, you take your seat in a plane and there's a crying, screaming child beside you. Or actually, some people say, wise up, that's life, the child is entitled to be there as much as you are. Maybe the answer, suggests some, is children free flights, or at least zones where the parents and kids are zoned off. I've been discussing this with the commentator Martin Dobney and Ruth Dudley Edwards. I started by asking Ruth what she thought.
I would like there to be areas for children because actually I find the crying child is upsetting for everybody, but it's the sight of the parents panic-stricken with embarrassment that's almost worse. And I really feel it would be better for parents and children to be together, to, you know, just in the interest of everybody, including the children.
Well, it's not really, the story isn't really about what's in the interest of the children. This is about adults that don't want to put up with the crying and the screaming.
No, and I don't see the point. I mean, I can't see any reason for distributing them evenly around the cabin. That's the real point, because it means that everybody's affected by it. Whereas if they have their own area, it'll still be noisy to hear, but at least it'll be more contained. I think it's a perfectly reasonable thing to do, and anyone who moans about this being discrimination, I think, is being unreasonable.
Martin?
Well, I mean, it's strange, isn't it, that you're unreasonable to kind of want to keep, you know, humanity together. I mean, we're talking about this because a mother was told who had an ill child, a child with a condition, Nicola Colenso from Northwich, was told her child was abusive and should shut up. You know, the child was ill. And, you know, this story comes up time and again. It's because of adult intolerance. You know, the idea that we should have segregated transport in 2016 is some kind of, you know, grotesque throwback to the 1950s. We should be over this. You know, life is about tolerance. So this idea that we shouldn't have to travel with people we don't like is absurd. By the same logic, you know, let's ban, you know, stag parties, hen parties, drunk people, smelly people, people who fart. I mean, where does this end?
Yeah, but I fly most weeks back and forward. It's a short flight. It's 50 minutes back and forward to England. You know, a crying child really, really close to you, screaming at that fever pitch. You're not going to come off that flight relaxed, Martin. You're not going to do that. And is it not actually part of nature that crying child, it's supposed to be at a certain pitch, that, you know, a mother has to pay attention to it? Well, you're not the mother if you're sitting three rows behind and you've had a hard day at work and there's a child going bananas.
No, nobody's denying that a crying child is a nice noise. I mean, I've got two kids of my own, two young kids. You know, it is, you know, specifically at a frequency, yeah, to annoy us into action. It's the survival of the species. You can't ignore a crying child. Nobody is saying that. But this idea that, you know, we should all be segregated is ridiculous. I mean, you know, either become Willie Walsh and own your own airline and change the policy, or become Bono and fly privately. You know, until then, you know, I'm afraid we have to travel with people that we may not necessarily like. That's life.
Ruth?
But who's suggesting that we shouldn't travel with them? They're really suggesting that there should be the equivalent, if you like, of a children's playground.
Yeah, but what if I have a child who's very well behaved and I'm kind of lumped into an area where there are screaming children because the parents doing bad parenting? You know, it's just punishing every parent for those who can't control their children. I mean, if you have babies who have earache on takeoff and all of that, you know, then they cry and that's that. But if you've got kids that are running riot because the parents are playing an iPad or getting drunk, you know, that's different. You know, that's bad parenting. So why should I be lumped in with those bad parents because I'm a good parent? It punishes every parent. And so it isn't fair to everybody. It's just unfair to parents.
Well, why is it terrible for parents to travel with other parents and children? What's the problem?
So why, if I should travel with other parents, why shouldn't you travel with other children? You see, you're just setting parameters that suit you. I'm afraid that's not how the world ticks.
I think that you're just hunting for victimhood. It's perfectly sensible to have children with children. And I wouldn't suggest, actually, that older children should be segregated in that particular way, but noisy people. I mean, if there was a way of segregating drunks, that'd be fine as well. It's the noise is the problem. It's not that they're children.
Is it?
And you may be a good parent, but even good parents have children that get crying fits and
yeah,
tantrums and lanes and the rest of it. And why should we have to put up with it unnecessarily?
We're very happy
to have them on the plane.
Who else are you going to segregate, Ruth? You know, is it any worse sitting beside a screaming child than sitting beside a 22-stone fat man? His hairy, sweaty thighs are rubbing against you in the seat. Is that any worse or any better?
The man's likely to have better conversation, I would think, with a bit of luck. No, and I mean, I do think that people should be paying extra. I forgive my saying so, Stephen, if they're extremely fat and occupying a disproportionate amount of space.
I think it's an interesting point there you brought up, Stephen, about obese passengers, because this precise law was attempted to be brought in by American Airlines. You know, back in the 80s, they tried to charge obese people more, and of course there was an enormous lawsuit against them, and they dropped the idea like a hot brick. And that's precisely what would happen if segregation of children was put forward by an airline. A kind of jobbing lawyer who wanted to make a name for themselves would make sure they took the airline on. It would never be allowed to be passed because it is discriminatory in the eyes of the law, and that's that. You know, we just don't get to choose how we travel unless we're very like that Rod Stewart, fly privately. Until then, just put up with it.
Yeah, I'm looking at this tweet that you sent out where you cited a survey by latedeals.co.uk. They surveyed 1,108 British consumers. They were asking the most annoying passengers or other irritants encountered on a flight, and above crying babies at 43%, well, drunk and rowdy travellers, and at number two, people with bad hygiene.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that is something. You know, people that smell, you know, you've got 8 hours of this. What do you do? You know, you can...
Well, of course, the baby might do both. The baby might have dirties his nappy, and he's smelling and he's crying.
And he might be drunk as well.
You get the baby drunk.
No,
right. Don't do that. But honestly, you know, my sister, for example, she lives in America, and she flies back every year with her child. He's 17 now. But when he was a kid, you know, she was so stressed about kind of purse-lipped, curmudgeonly, kind of finger-wagging, disproving adults. She used to buy an over-the-counter medication and basically drug him to sleep.
Well,
it was legal, by the way.
Right. We certainly wouldn't be advocating that.
Absolutely not. But what I'm saying is, she was so stressed by the potential reaction of other adults, she was doing this to her child.
Do you know what I can't stand? And I can say this just finally this morning. And I get trapped on a flight with these type of people once every 2 months, because I do fly most weeks. These people that are going off on a hen party or stag party, whatever, and they are adults, and they're like these characters out of Big Brother, in that they want all of the attention onto themselves. And they sit at the back of the flight and they scream, and they come off with this inane laughter about stupid stuff, and they've got little rubber ducks or whatever it is they have. I can't stand it, Ruth. I can't stand. They might be having a good time, but no one else in the flight is having a good time. And they're adults.
I'm not defending that. We can only deal with what we can deal with.
And then if you happen to be on, if you're a local minor nobody, you happen to be on local television, they're shouting. Well, they're not shouting. They're shouting from the back of the plane, and they're shouting, "Stephen! Stephen!" I can't stand it. I can't stand it.
They should be given heavy warnings from the airline, from the stewardesses, who should have cards. Yellow cards and red cards.
Yes.
And people should be warned that they will.
What happens if you get a red card and you're mid-flight, though?
Get tasered.
Right, Martin, thank you.
For upsetting Stephen.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you, Martin. We're talking about who you get stuck with on a plane, whether there should be child-free zones on plane, parent zones on planes. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Dry Your Eyes, Mr. Nolan. Mr. Nolan. Once upon a time, we were all children themselves. I'm sure Big Audrey heard you crying many a time when you were growing up.
Well, Big Audrey tells a story. Apparently, Big Audrey tells this story. Apparently, when I was a little baby, and I know that none of you will believe this, but apparently I used to scream for attention. And she tells this story of me scraping my nails, my little baby nails, down the bars of the cot, screaming from upstairs to downstairs until somebody came up and paid me attention. And she said that a friend of ours, Ken Jackie Jones, family friends from many, many years ago, when I used to live up in Westway, apparently Jackie Jones came to my mother, because my mum and dad would then rush up and take me in their arms and cuddle me while I was, and I would stop screaming once I was given a cuddle. And Jackie told them to leave me one night. My mum tells this story, Robert, of how they left me for about 2 hours, and I cried non-stop for 2 hours, screaming. You wouldn't believe it about me, would you?
No, no, Stephen, you wouldn't be a crybaby, no. No, there's no doubt about that. But I'm annoyed at all these killjoys. You know what I mean? On these aeroplanes, complaining about young children crying. Yeah, well, taxi drivers get children in the back of their taxi.
Well, here's what... Have a look at what Ari Eamon...
it's not a problem. It's all part of nature, isn't it?
Have a look at what Eamon Holmes has said. He was talking about this on This Morning, actually. And he said, what makes life miserable is that I've paid for my holiday... I get 1 week off all year. I just want to get on that plane, watch my movie, sleep, whatever it happens to be. I want the choice. And when someone said to him a question about that, he said, I paid for the ticket. I don't want your children next to me. Is that not a fair argument?
No, it's not, because they're like a Mr. Holmes, where like your own salary, you're getting cheap first class, you know.
So it doesn't matter what class. It doesn't matter what class you're in if there's a screaming child beside you.
What's it?
It does not matter what class you're in if there's a screaming child beside you.
Well, you're probably more privacy in a first class, Stephen, than you would have just by the rest of the passengers. But my point is, Stephen, see all the killjoys. Did they forget? They weren't out. They didn't grow up as adults.
I've got to say, those wee dinky flyby planes, if you're stuck beside a child screaming the whole trip, you don't come off relaxed.
Ah, come on, Stephen.
I've also got to say, as I said when we were debating it before the news, those screaming stag parties are 20, hen parties are 1,000 times worse. Unbelievable.
Call into the shop, Stephen, and get a bit of cotton oil and stick it in your ears then, you know.
Actually, I get a lot of natural earwax. My ears are often bunged up.
Well, get heavy cotton oil, you know. Your ears would take heavy cotton oil, you know.
Norman, good morning. I can't cope with Norman and Bangor today.
Morning, Stephen. I'm back. I was on the train the other day, and a mother got on with her kids, and the first thing she did was take her mobile phone out, stuck her face in it, and the kids started whinging at her, gimme, and she says to the kid, go away. That's bad parenting. Instead of appeasing the child and seeing what was wrong and what the child wanted, no, she wanted her mobile phone, her face stuck in it. That's what gets up my nose. Bad parenting.
Quite a lot gets up. Your nose must be blocked. There's quite a lot gets up it.
Stephen, whinging kids, I had children of my own and grandchildren, and they never whinge like they do today. They don't whinge, they go into tantrums.
We're talking about babies crying at the top of their
Stephen,
voice.
I come home on the overnight
planes,
boat,
Norman, for
on the overnight
sake.
Boat from Rotterdam.
Did you?
And there was
what
a couple
were you doing
of
in Rotterdam?
Yes, and there was a couple
did
of
people. Did you bring the wife when you went off on a wee trip to Rotterdam?
Yes. That's why I go on these bus trips. There's no whinging kids on them. But anyway, this American couple were sitting beside me, and they had a wee baby. And me and the wife were talking to the wee child. And when the child it started to cry.
That's because you started talking to it. Saw you.
No, the mother lifted it out of the pram and started to nurse the child.
Yes.
And when she couldn't appease the child, she says to me and the wife, I'm going to take a child and put it to bed. That's good parenting. But the parents I see with their kids are whinging and they turn a blind eye to it because their nose is stuck on phones. They couldn't care less. It's annoying. That's what gets up my nose.